Test, 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 test. Test, 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 test. This is me talking on the phone. I am a participant. I hope I can hear myself loud and clear on the audience side. Test, 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 test. Test, this is Zach speaking.
on renewable energies. In conclusion, considering the solid order backlogs and the exit velocity of 2022, our expectation is to keep similar momentum going into the first half of 2023, with the ultimate objective to maintain and further solidify our leadership position in light-duty trucks with the all-new electric Daily about to be delivered and continue to improve our market share in heavy-duty trucks on the back of the model years 2019 and 2022 of the S-Way, which was just introduced in Latin America as well. By the end of 2023, we will launch the model year 2024 for all ranges, which will include not only the S-Way, then the S-Way will not only include the mandatory ADAS Level 2 functionality and improved driver-centric features, but also our all-new Cursor 13 engine with substantial fuel consumption improvements. Needless to say, this engine will be capable of running on gaseous fuels such as natural gas and hydrogen as well. I will now hand the call over to Francesco, who will take you through the full-year financial highlights, after which I will then conclude with final remarks.
Thank you, Gerrit, and good morning to all participants on this call. I'm on slide 12 with our financial highlights for the year ending 31st of December 2022. We ended the year with consolidated revenues at 14.4 billion, up 13.5% versus the previous year. Financial services net revenues were at 281 million, up 86 million or 44.1% versus full year 2021. Net revenues from industrial activities were at 14.2 billion, up 13.1% versus the previous year, mainly due to higher volumes and positive price realization. Consolidated adjusted EBIT was at 527 million, up 157 million versus last year, with the adjusted EBIT margin at 3.7%. The industrial activities adjusted EBIT was 424 million, up 122 million versus last year, with positive price realization, higher volumes, and a better mix, more than offsetting higher raw material and energy costs. The industrial activities adjusted EBIT margin was at 3%, up 60 basis points versus the full year 2021. We ended the year with our adjusted net income at 225 million, up 85 million comparing to last year. The adjusted net income figure excludes a negative impact in connection with our operation in Russia and Ukraine due to the impairment of certain assets, spin-off cost, a negative impact from the first-time adoption of the hyperinflationary accounting in Turkey, and the gains on the final step of the restructuring of the Chinese joint ventures. The adjusted net income also excludes the effect booked in Q4 2022 deriving from the gains on the disposal of certain fixed assets in Australia, as well as from the loss of the impairment of certain R&D costs and other assets primarily related to the bus business as a consequence of the acceleration in the emission-related technological transition. Total adjustment impacting profit before income taxes were at 61 million for the full year 2022 and a net zero in Q4. The adjusted diluted earnings per share was at 78 cents, up 35 cents comparing to the full year 2021. Financial expenses were 206 million versus the 150 million in 2021, mainly due to higher interest-based rates combined with hyperinflation impacts in Argentina and Turkey. The adjusted effective tax rate was at 30%, coming from a 47% in full year 2021 and a 32% at September year to date. The adjusted effective tax rate reflects different tax rates applied in the jurisdiction where the group operates and some other discrete items. Industrial free cash flow was positive, 690 million for the year, an improvement of 850 million versus last year, primarily due to the solid operating performance and working capital improvement. I will talk about our performance with more details later in the presentation. Our net industrial cash position was at 1.7 billion at the end of December 2022, up from 1.1 billion at the end of December 2021. Finally, the available liquidity, including undrawn committed credit lines, was at 4.4 billion at the end of the year. On the next slide, and I'm on slide 13 now, are full year industrial net revenue split by region and segment, as well as WACC versus full year 2021. Looking at the split by region and segment, as you can see on the left side of the chart, all regions were positive versus the previous year, with a particular solid performance in South America, which saw revenues up almost 60%. Moving to the revenue split by segment, all our industrial segments were up by double digit, except for powertrain, which was up 6% versus the previous year. As a reminder, 22 was the last year where the comparison with the previous year for powertrain was negatively affected by the discontinuation of the Stellantis Ducato contract, which implied a tough comparison throughout July 2022, as our supply to Stellantis was only concluded at the end of July 2021. Regarding the contributors of the increase in net revenues, as you can derive from the graph on the right hand of the slide, volume and mix and gross pricing positively contributed to improvement at a similar magnitude. Moving on to the industrial activities adjusted EBIT WACC by segment and driver, and now I'm on slide 14. Positive volume and mix and net price realization were the drivers of the improvement in profitability. More specifically, the net price realization alone was able to more than offset the higher production cost, which was particularly negative throughout the year, registering an increase of 584 million compared to the last year. The adjusted EBIT margin ended the year at 3%, up 60 basis points versus last year. Important to highlight is certainly the performance of the industrial businesses in the fourth quarter that finished with a margin of 4.3%, up 300 basis points versus the same period of last year, with the commercial and specialty vehicle margin up 220 basis points to 4.3% and powertrain up 260 basis points to 5.8% versus fourth quarter 2021. Looking at the performance of each segment for the year, the commercial and specialty vehicle adjusted EBIT was 450 million, a 161 million increase comparing to 2021, driven by positive price realization and higher volumes, more than offsetting higher production cost, mainly due to the increased raw material and energy cost. The adjusted EBIT margin was at 3.4%. In powertrain, the adjusted EBIT was 187 million, down 21 million comparing to the 2021, mainly due to the unfavorable volume, negatively affected by the Stellantis Ducato contract discontinuation, as I mentioned before, but also a tough heavy-duty truck market in China, and higher raw material and energy cost, partially offset by positive price realization. The adjusted EBIT margin was at 4.7%, which we consider now the turning point for FPT margin. The next slide, number 15, deals with our financial service performance. The adjusted EBIT was 103 million for the full year, a 29 million increase compared to 2021, primarily due to higher receivable portfolio and better collection performance on managed receivable. Considering within this result are also some release of funding totaling 12 million, which occurred in Q3 2022 and were related to customers that were able to recover solidly scheduled payments. We do not expect to repeat this in 2023. The Iveco Group managed portfolio, including unconsolidated joint venture, was 6.8 billion at the end of the year, of which retail was 41% and wholesale 59%, up 1.4 billion comparing to the end of 2021. The receivable balance greater than 30 days past due as a percentage of the on-book portfolio was 2.4%, down 150 basis points versus 31st of December 2021 and down 40 basis points from Q3 2022. The financial services return on asset remains solid at 2.3%, up from 1.8% in the first quarter last year. Equity stands at 768 million. Moving on slide 16 with our industrial net cash walk and related focus on main dynamics. As Gerrit said, and I mentioned it during my financial highlights, the full year free cash flow, if adjusted by two specific one-off items deriving from the gains on the disposal of certain fixed assets in Australia, booked in the fourth quarter 2022, and the positive effect of the unfinished product deliveries during the second part of the year, would have been at 530 million. Let's have a look at the various components of the walk and related performance versus the same period last year. The adjusted EBITDA contribution was positive at 109 million comparing to last year on the back of a solid profitability performance. Working capital cash inflows was at 505 million comparing to a cash outflows of 303 million last year, mainly driven by a lower cash outflow from inventories and higher cash inflows from trade payables. On the bottom right side of the slide, we show our free cash flow performance by quarter. As we reiterated several times during the year, our free cash flow seasonality caused the first three quarters to be cash consumptive, with seasonal cash absorption in the first and third quarters, normal condition allowing a break-even second quarter, and the usual strong fourth quarter cash generation. Our expectation for 2023 is to be more in line with such seasonality, supported by improved component availability versus 2022. However, the overall cash generation in 2023 is expected at a level which is about half of the full year 2022, mainly due to a higher level of investment in the completion of launch of our MY24 lineup and the absence of certainty on additional positive one-off effect. Moving now to my last slide for today, in which our available liquidity components and the debt maturity profiles are shown. Our available liquidity at the end of December 2022 was at 4.4 billion and includes 2.3 billion in cash and cash equivalents and 2 billion of undrawn committed facilities. As you can see, our cash and cash equivalents levels more than cover all the cash maturities for the upcoming years, totaling 822 million. This basically concludes my remarks on the financials, and I will now turn it back to Gerrit for his final remarks.
Thank you, Francesco. Let's conclude with the preliminary industry and financial outlook, as well as with some final takeaway messages. Our preliminary industry outlook, volume outlook for 2023 is broadly in line with what was already disclosed by some of our peers that released their financials before us. The percentages change year over year by segment and region shown in the table reflect our current visibility. We have to maintain a certain level of prudence at the moment, but we are somewhat optimistic that in front of us is another solid year, similar to 2022, in terms of final demand, and this is reflected in the preliminary outlook. The next slide, number 20, has our full year 2023 preliminary financial outlook. As per my comments related to our preliminary industry outlook, the same is valid for our current preliminary financial outlook. We need to maintain a certain level of prudence, especially with regards to the second half of the year. Based on the current industry outlook, solid order backlogs, and no signs of unusual levels of order cancellations, the company is expecting at a consolidated level a group-adjusted EBIT at between 550 and 590 million euros, and for the industrial activities, net revenues, including currency effects, to be up between 2 and 3%, adjusted EBIT from industrial activities at between 460 and 500 million euros, SG&A over net revenues at around 6%, net cash, excluding any share buyback or extraordinary transaction, at around 2 billion, and investments in property, plants and equipment and intangible assets up between 10 and 15% from 775 million euros in full year 22, mainly due to the energy transition and model year 24 launches across all ranges. In conclusion, let me summarize the messages we gave today in our presentation, providing some final takeaway points. First, our current outlook related to both industry and our preliminary financials for full year 2023 call for a certain level of prudence due to our expectation that some challenges in supply chain, at least in the near term, are expected to continue and that industry dynamics in the second half of the year will be impacted by as yet unclear macroeconomic developments. Second, our six industrial businesses are each and individually in transition and under transformation, and we are strongly committed to providing them with the optimal paths and partnerships to compete in their respective industries. Third, our continuous effort to manage our order books and preserve relative profitability will certainly continue, as well as a tight control over cash. Fourth, we are committed to maintaining a solid available liquidity level, allowing us to further increase our efforts towards investing in our new energy future. Finally, as I pointed out in my opening remarks, our year two has just started, and we are all aware that the hard work must continue tirelessly. We are all focused and strongly committed to continue pursuing the profitability path embedded in our five-year strategic business plan, and we are ready to react promptly to all the challenges and seize the opportunities we encounter along our way. Our team's quality and our dedication make the difference. That concludes our prepared remark, and we can now open it up for questions. Operator, please go ahead.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question or make a contribution on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. Please ensure your lines are unmuted locally, as you will be advised when to ask your question. We will take our first question from Daniela Costa from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking our questions. I have three, but they are all quick. The first one is in terms of like looking at your 23 guidance. Can you tell us what sort of pricing environment do you bake into it? What's the carryover from this year? And also what are you doing on order pricing now? Then also regarding the assumptions regarding your EBIT for 2023, what do you have implicitly for your heavy duty business? I believe last year it was close to break even. What's the 2023 outlook there? And the final one, just on the CapEx that you now guide specifically for 2023, just want to make sure is that that is part of the included CapEx you had already in your 22 to 26 guidance, right? Or is it incremental? Just would be good to hear on those. Thank you.
Thanks, Daniela. Starting from your third question, yes, the CapEx was in the plan. This is not an addition. It's just highlighting the fact that this is now a year of higher spending in light of very crucial product launches that included, it was planned, and just to highlight this for you. On the EBIT, reach the in.